need to start talking to it. Oh, come on. The Bible said to owe no man anything but to love him. Amen. I'm not telling you that it's going to happen, and it could happen instantly, but that's on your belief. That's on your faith. But the little chunk by little chunk, huh? Oh, come on. Rock by rock. I speak to this rock. Tell it to move. It rolls down. I speak to the next rock, and the next thing I know, an avalanche starts to roll off. You got to see here that if we have faith, the Bible said, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If I got a car and you don't see it, I can show you my keys. You ain't got to believe it. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, you ain't even got to see it. But when I blow the horn, you can hear me on the outside.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
To get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for the privilege of hearing your word. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can do in the text. Let him teach us. Tell of the truth so that every hearer's heart might not only hear but heed what you have to say. Open up our spiritual ears. Let us hear from on high. Meet us where we are. Lift us up to the place you would have us to be. And gracious God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to call your attention to Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. Recorded are these words. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, anointed to do what I do, part two. Anointed to do what I do. Part two. If you will look at verse 1 and 2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. We dealt with this in the earlier services, verse 1 and 2, and we touched on verse 3, but I'd like to visit verse 3 and park there for just a little meaning and hopefully bring out revelation that will be helpful to us in our walk with the Lord. Isaiah looks in time and he sees this anointing upon Jesus' life. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, we will see Jesus uttering these words, knowing that it was spoken about him, and knowing that he had been anointed to do all of the things that God had appointed him to do. I wanted to make clear in this service, as I had the previous service, that whenever God calls you to do something, the first thing he does is he anoints you to do it. The anointing always comes before the appointing. And when you recognize that, and I've said before, I'll say it again, that though we may desire to be many things, to do many things, if it is not God's will, if it is not what God has ordained or ordered, we will never ever be successful as those who are anointed and appointed to do what they do. No other could do what Jesus did, like Jesus did, when Jesus did, how he did the things he did, because no one has never been anointed like him. I need to tell you, the greater the assignment, the greater the anointing. God doesn't waste his anointing on an assignment that doesn't require that kind of anointing. And when we look at various people in ministry, various pastors, preachers, evangelists, teachers, people who minister, there is an anointing that is always commensurate with the assignment they've been given. If there's a little task, there will be a little anointing for it. If there is a great task, there will be a great anointing with it. One of the things that you must understand and recognize is that the anointed comes from the sovereign to the servant. So if the anointing comes from the sovereign God to the servant, it is so that there may be in the end an accomplishment to what God has ordained. And one of the things that I think is so helpful to the believer to understand, because I oftentimes hear people say, you know, I want to do something for the Lord, but I don't know what it is. Well, one of the things that you've got to know is that God is in control of you and everything there is. When God makes a call to you, first of all, your relationship with him is going to be intact and going to be right. Your fellowship, God has some things that he wants to deal with you. He always prepares the preacher before he prepares the message. And one of the things that you've got to realize is that God has got to do some things with you before he'll do some things through you. And so one of the things that you must recognize as you are seeking God's desire for your life, his purpose for your life, is to make sure that you and him are right first. And when that part is straight, you will know that God will speak to you so clearly that you can't miss him. You will understand the calling, because the anointing will empower you to do what God has anointed you and assigned for you to do. So when Isaiah looks at this point now, and he still speaks of Jesus, and these are some prophetic words and words that are yet to be fulfilled, but yet part of this has already been fulfilled, and yet Jesus Christ has been anointed to accomplish the entire task. Some things you also need to know is that when God gives you an assignment, he gives you an anointing that is for the period to complete the purpose. In other words, if he's only giving you a certain job description for this period, he's not going to give you a total anointing for it all. In other words, he's going to give you enough strength to get done what he wants you to do right now. And then when he's ready for you to move to the next level, he will increase your. How many times have you been on assignment from the Lord, and after you did what God told you to do, man, you were just drained. That was nothing left in you. You didn't know how you was going to make the next step. And yet, when God was ready for you to take the next step, he gave you a fresh anointing. The word calls it a second wind. Am I talking to anybody in the house? And one of the things you've got to know is the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Listen at this. And he delighteth in his way. And God means in his word to order our starts. He orders our steps. He orders our pace. He does the complete control of when we start to when we finish. And when we trust him to be in control of that, we never have to worry about whether or not we're going to complete the assignment of God. Jesus could not do any more than the Father and his anointing would allow him to do. And therefore, he would not allow people to force him or to push him into places that the anointing and the assignment did not call for at that time. They were trying to make him an earthly king. Jesus had made clear, wait a minute, my kingdom is not of this world. Yes, I am a king, but I'm not the kind of king you think I am. And it's not for this period and time. And see, one of the things that the anointing will do is the anointing will make you confident and assured of the assignment that you have to do. And you won't allow folk to pull you out of your place. Because you know what it is that God has assigned and when he has assigned you to do what he wants you to do. Having said all of this, we get to verse 3. And the word says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. That word appoint means to place or to set as a permanent thing. And so understanding that Jesus Christ himself has the ability through the appointment of God to do as only he can do for those who mourn. Now again, historically this represents Israel and Zion representing the place of God. But parenthetically and pragmatically, it is an assurance for all believers. Look at this. If you mourn, you qualify for the Lord to comfort you. Jesus deals with this in the Beatitudes in the 5th chapter of Matthew's, and you can go there and you read, blessed are they that mourn. What's going to happen to them? For they shall be what? They shall be. It's a certainty. So if you mourn and you're a child of God, you need to know God's already have in place a thing that's going to help you, an assigned appointment from the Lord Jesus Christ to do what is necessary to bring you out of that place. But I want you to see here, he talks about something else in this verse. He talks about to give unto them beauty for ashes. This word beauty comes from the Hebrew word pier. And it means to embellish. It means to have a fancy headdress, a beautiful diadem. It means a tiara, a turban, a bonnet, or ornament. It means to dress you up in a royal or regal way. Now look at this. Imagine yourself. You're mourning. And when the sign of ashes, when ashes were placed on the forehead, it was a sign of deep mourning. It was a sign of great trouble. It was a great sign of sorrow. And so see yourself there with ashes. And this alerts not only those without, but also it is the announcement to heaven that I am going through some terrible things. And so there, while you're in mourning with ashes on your head, the Lord comes because he's appointed to do that. That's why can't nobody do you like Jesus. You go to friends and families and loved ones for consolation and find them complaining too, because there's only so much man can do. But Jesus has been appointed to turn your mourning into joy. And so while you're there mourning, head held down, and you're going through what you're going through, he comes and he wipes the ashes away. And he sets a tiara, a crown, an ornament, a bonnet. He sets that is beautiful on your head. Now, when people see you now, they want to know what's going on. What are you celebrating? Listen, it is for you to recognize that there are just some things nobody but the Lord can change. There are some things you've got to recognize that you have got to go to him who has been anointed and appointed to turn your sorrow and your mourning into joy. And that's why some of us will never get the relief we need and desire until we turn it over to Jesus, who has been anointed to bring us to the place of joy that only he can bring us to. I want you to see something else, because he not only talks about excuse me, giving us beautiful ashes, but the word says the oil of joy, listen at this, for mourning. When you start mourning, Jesus has got some joy for you in an oil. And see, a whole lot of folk don't understand that oil in this context was never used when folk were sorrowful or burdened or in a devastated or depressed state. It was always used and employed for celebrations and festive occasions. So yet Jesus is the only one anointed when you're down and out and when you're feeling blue and when there isn't nothing to party about, to come and anoint your head with oil of joy. No wonder David said, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One of the first things you're going to realize in verse 1 is the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. It's with me. It's in my presence. And so when God is present with you, can I tell you, he has the power to turn around what you can't turn around? And so when you come out of the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus has already been preparing a table for before you in the presence of your enemy and decorating it with everything not only that you want, but your enemy wants also. And he, listen at this, anoints your head with oil. Why? To celebrate gladness, to show the joy. Now remember, he's setting up the table. He has called the party. He's drawing attention to your overcoming victory. I gotta tell you this, my brothers and sisters, when you've been through some of the worst stuff you've been through, some of the very folk who saw you going through it had already started talking about you wasn't gonna make it through it. Jesus knew who you were, Jesus was with you through it, and Jesus walked all the way through to bring you to this point. Now he says, now let me show you how I feel about you. I wanna set up a celebration in the face of those people who said you wouldn't make it and you couldn't take it, and celebrate you. That's why he anoints your head. Tell somebody, he anoints my head. Because I'm the one who walked through that valley. You're the one who walked through that valley. Yes, he was beside us, but if we did not trust him, we would have made it through. We would not have made it through. And I got news for you. When you come through, nobody greater than Jesus. Because I got news for you. He's your biggest cheerleader. Come on, you can make it. Come on, you can take it. I know you feel like stopping. Don't worry about the enemy. I got a ride for your enemy. But when you fall, he picks you back up and say, you're not going to die in this valley. You're not going to stay in this situation. You are coming. Oh, I wish I tell your neighbor you're coming out. Come on, encourage somebody. Glory. Listen. So he anoints. When the sun shines, it reflects. I wish I had a witness. It literally draws attention to you through the reflection of the sun. I'm not just talking about the S-U-N sun, I'm talking about the S-O-N sun. And there is joy. Listen at this. The oil of joy for mourning. Oil of joy denotes and expresses joy and happiness. He deals with the internal as well as the external. Joy and, you know, it's wonderful to have happiness.
Because that means that there are some things happening around you that makes you happy. But what happens when what around you does not make you happy? But what if what around you brings you to a place of depression and brings you to a place of oppression? Thanks be to God that you're not just one dimensional. Because listen, what the devil may try to mess with on the outside, what he don't understand is he can't do anything about the joy on the inside. Listen at this, the oil of joy for mourning. Literally, here's what Jesus said, you're mourning? Here, let me give you some oil of joy. Now take this and give me. Somebody didn't get that. You missed it. He literally, the oil of joy is for mourning. He changes it out. He exchanges it. He replaces it with joy. An unspeakable joy. Have you ever had that experience where, man, you were just at that place and point, and yet he gave you a joy and you couldn't even describe it? You were about ready to give up, and all of a sudden now you rejoice. What a mighty God we serve. And you were just on the verge of the world being on top of you. And he juxtaposed it. He kept on turning it. See, that's what you got to realize. As the world turns, it doesn't stop with you on the bottom. Because if you're on the bottom, just remember, as the world turns, tell your neighbor, hold on, you on your way back to the top. As the world, God's got this thing fixed. It's in his hand, and he won't let it stay on the bottom long. You just got to hold on until he flips it back right for you. Because what the devil meant for evil, how many witnesses know? God's going to turn it out for your better good. So, in times of calamity, of grief, the oil of joy is specifically and purposefully prepared for that time. God's got something for your sorrows. He's got something for your mourning. He's got something for your downtrodden state. All you got to do is get connected with him. But then look at the rest of this verse. It says, not only does he give you beauty for ashes. Now notice that word for. Beauty for ashes. Each one trades out one for the other. Beauty for ashes. You can't have beauty and ashes. I believe Mays put it this way when he said, joy and pain. Isn't there something strange about sunshine and rain? Don't sit here and act holier than thou with me here. What I'm glad about is when you have got ashes, he takes the ashes and gives you beauty. And when you're mourning, he trades it out for an oil of joy. I want you to see this now. And then he says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise. Listen at this. Garment expressing praise and gratitude instead of mourning, and a spirit of heaviness or burden spirit. Here, the original word for heaviness usually means faint, feeble, weak, but it is used in this context as a lamp going out in Isaiah 42 and 3, and it's 1 Samuel 3 and 2 as eyes becoming dim. Here it refers to one who is depressed and faint. Listen at this. If you're depressed, faint meaning weak, and seemingly unable to deal with or go through your challenge or your struggle or your issues, he said, I think you need to change clothes. Somebody don't. See, one of the things that you need to recognize, look at this word again, verse 3, he says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. See, there are just some things that you've got to do that God has given to you. You just might need to go in your closet and pick out your praise garment. You got it. If you're born again and you're a believer, you got a praise garment. It may not look like somebody else's praise garment, but it's your personalized, customized praise garment that the Lord has given to you. And when you feel a spirit of heaviness, and so many times we have carried a spirit of heaviness longer than we should have carried it for. We've been depressed and faint for longer than we should have been depressed and faint. Oh, listen, don't fool yourself. Just because you're saved don't mean the devil won't mess with you, won't bother you, won't try you, won't deal with you. But when he does, he need to recognize he ain't messing with just no anybody here. You a child of the Most High God, and there's something that you have that he can't bother. Greater is he that is within you. So when you start getting this way, the Holy Ghost won't say, wait, it's time to change clothes now. We need to get out of this mess we're in, this sackcloth and ashes, and trade it for a garment of praise. Man, when you're starting to feel heavy, you've gotten some bad news, something didn't go right, some situation turned sour on you. Yes, it's human nature to feel bad. Yes, it's human nature to cry. Yes, it's human nature to deal with that. But the question becomes, how long are you going to deal with it before dealing with it? Not letting it deal with you, but you dealing with it. Listen at this. When the spirit of heaviness comes upon you, it's up to you to put on your praise garment. I promise you, you won't be able to stay long with your mouth twisted, with your praise garments on. I promise you, you won't continue to let tears roll down your face when you put your praise garments on. I promise you won't stay down in a depressed mode with your head hanging down and feeling sorry for yourself when you get up and put your praise garment on. I promise you, you'll stop thinking negative and looking down and feeling dark and feeling rejected and feeling like the wind has been the enemy instead of you when you put your prayer. Listen, the fact may be that it is what it is, but faith says, wait a minute, it ain't got to stay this way. We're going to praise our way up out of here. I wish I had a witness in the house here. You got something to do with how long you stay in the place where the devil wants you to be and not where God wants you to be. I got to throw this out parenthetically also, that when you put your praise garments on, you don't need nobody else to help you. In other words, you don't need nobody to tell your sob story to. You don't need nobody patting you on the back. You don't need nobody telling you it's going to be all right. Just put your praise. And when you put your praise garments on, somebody say, I got a feeling everything is going to be. Oh, come on, help me. Some praises in the house. Care what you're going through, learn when your spirit gets heavy, you got something you can do about it. Why don't you check your praise garment right quick? Do you have it on? Well, let's just praise, praise, praise.
praise through your sickness.